Hello, folks, and welcome back to the Rusted Culture Show. I am your host, Frank Ebersold, and we've got an interesting show lined up for you today. And we're going to talk a little bit about this war on poverty, and it's not the war you're thinking of. Stay right there for more. Well, on June 22nd, Bernie Sanders was at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Now, many of you may not like Bernie Sanders, but no matter how you feel about Bernie, you simply can't deny the honesty and the truthfulness of the guy. You can look all day and not find a more honest citizen, quite frankly. So when Bernie says, when he stands up and says that our democracy is under attack, folks, he's got my attention. And, you know, one of the things that he named here, I guess it might be the first point if you call it that, but one of the first things that Bernie brought up was that how Donald Trump has tried and tried and tried to delegitimize what's really 240 plus years of journalistic effort in the United States to promote the truth. In fact, if you had gone back to the Vietnam War and listened to Nixon, and that's it, the Vietnam War, it never would have ended. We'd still be in the Vietnam War if you had listened to Nixon. It was the continued reporting of facts on the ground in that war that helped end the war. So, Americans, let's not veg out. America, don't glaze over. And let's not get fat and lazy about journalists being fake news proponents. Get your facts from a variety of sources and then make your mind up about the truth. But please, please don't believe everything that Donald Trump says is the unvarnished truth, because it's not. Make your own mind up. Secondly, the point that Bernie was trying to make was that Trump's assertion that 3 to 5 million illegal votes were cast in the election, otherwise he would have won the popular vote. Of course. You know, instead of being elected with a minority of votes, he would have won the popular vote. Well, sadly, Trump has no facts he could pull out of any place on his body to support those 3 to 5 million illegal votes. So yeah, that's a way that you cast doubt on the American electoral system. That's how you undermine democracy. And that's coming from the president. Thirdly, the point that Bernie Sanders was trying to make is that Donald Trump routinely attacks the judiciary unfailingly. He's always on the attack. And that's one branch that our constitutional forefathers put in place to balance the power of the presidency. And folks, I'd call that constant attack on the judiciary, I'd say that that's an attack on democracy. Now, I think that Trump's basically an authoritarian, and that's bad for America, and it's bad for Americans. That's my opinion, but that's how I feel about it, at least right now. You know, a good example of an authoritarian government is Russia and how they run the government. Now, you know Trump loves Russia. Yeah, you know why he loves Russia. It's the way, the consistency with which they can put down a dissenting opinion, a dissenting voice. You don't say much for that Putin doesn't like in Russia without ending up behind bars. It just doesn't happen. And you know, I think that's what Donald Trump likes about Russia. He doesn't love Putin, could care less. He just loves the structure of that government and how Putin runs it. And I gotta tell you, that's a challenge to our democracy right there. Now, America, are we willing to just lay down and roll over while the president scratches our fat bellies with his version of what the facts and the truth are? I'm not. And I want to clarify, I'm not a hater. I don't hate anyone, but I'll be darned if I'm going to get my facts from the same president that got his facts wrong about his inauguration / coronation crowd size. He got the facts wrong about the 3 to 5 million that voted illegally. And he says he didn't lie about telling Comey to drop the investigation against Mike Flynn. He says he didn't tell him that. Now, which one? Somebody's not telling the truth here, kids, just like in grade school. Somebody's not telling the truth. Now, which one do you think it is? My money's on Comey. That Comey is telling the truth. That's where my money is. And, of course, Donald Trump doesn't think that the Russians hacked the election. Of course not. I mean, really, all of a sudden, are you willing to take his so-called truth as gospel? I think we've got to quit being lazy, America. Get your news from a variety of sources and make up your own minds based on the facts. The only thing that's false or fake about journalism in the U.S. today is that we've all of a sudden got a president that calls it fake. And after 240 years, I'm not buying it, and I don't think you should either. For the past 240 years of a successful America, Americans have been listening, reading, getting our news from a career, basically career journalist. And these people have been in every war, in the trenches, right next to every other American, fighting for our freedom, reporting on facts. And in the Vietnam War, it's that unbiased reporting that I think was pivotal in ending the war. They were there in the trenches, on the battlefields, reporting the facts as gruesome as they may be. So now, fast forward to 2017, and we've got a president that wants you to get your facts from him, usually via Twitter. Does anybody out there have a problem with this? I do. All of a sudden, are we incapable of reading conservative, progressive, and liberal journalists, taking it all in and making our own mind up based on the facts? Americans, have we become fat and lazy to the point that we can only trust one voice, the president, as fact, just because he said it? We can't be willing to not take in a variety of different viewpoints and make our own minds up. That means not just listening to CNN or Politico or Breitbart or Fox News. Listen to all of them. Make your own mind up. Well, coming right up, we've got another segment here. Stay right tuned. Well, as I mentioned, folks, I'm not a hater, but I gotta tell you, I did hate the comments that Donald Trump made in Cedar Rapids about 2 weeks ago. He said that he loves all people, rich or poor. Of course, of course. But for advisors, when it came to advisors, the president insists on a cabinet of the rich. And he said, in these positions, I just don't want a poor person. Does that make sense? No, hell no, it does not make sense. In fact, that's an insult to every hardworking American. I can stand here in front of you today and tell you that yes, I believe that someone who is not a millionaire or a billionaire could be doing a better job at running this country right now. Yes, they could. America, since when do you think that the 1% has the birthright to govern the 99%? Since when? Did you gobble that one up? I didn't. Did you just swallow that bitter pill from Donald Trump? I mean, let's just clap our hands, America, for Trump, if you, as an American, you think that the 1% has the birthright to govern the 99%. Just put your hands together. It's endless, folks. But I'll tell you, there is a war on poverty going on, and I want you to hear about it. Stay right there. Well, by now, if you've listened to me through the litany of podcasts that I've done, you know that I love the old stuff. I love the old cars. I love old people. I love old clothes. Some of those, like that damn Orvis jacket, I can't even throw away after 20 years. I love old dogs. I love old songs. And yes, I'm evidently stuck in the 80s and kind of proud of it, actually. Love things like this old great song, Love Is in the Air. But right now I'm not feeling the love. I'm not feeling it. In fact, I hate to ruin a great song with saying that there's no love in the air. But there isn't any love in the air with this Senate health, dang health plan that they're working on. And old gobbler Mitch McConnell, the old gobbler himself, is touting. You know who else isn't feeling the love? The American Academy of Family Physicians, they're not feeling the love. The American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Hospital Association, the Federation of American Hospitals, the Children's Hospital Association, the AARP, the American Lung Association, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, folks, how many professionals, literally healthcare professionals, does it take shouting in their ears before they will listen? People that know healthcare shouting in their ears. You know, they, many, not all of the Republican senators, there's a few dissenting senators that don't think the bill's any good, but most of them, a vast majority of the Republican senators have just declared war on poverty by promoting a bill they call the American Health Care Act. Let's put the word American in it. There ain't nothing American about what you're doing to the poverty, the poor folks in this bill. There's nothing American about it. That's going to lead, actually, to 23 million people not having health coverage over the next 10 years. And folks, we're not talking about the rich here losing health care. We're talking about the poor or the middle class. Same thing, really, isn't it? I mean, the Republican health care bill declares war on poverty by gutting Medicaid coverage. On doing what Democrats fought to do, and that is provide health care coverage for the middle class poor that despite their working their darn fannies off, they still can't afford coverage, saddled with high insurance bills. But they're covered today when through either through subsidies or directly through Medicaid if you make less than $15,000 in the states that expanded Medicaid. And folks, these are the working poor. I mean, hardworking Americans, you know, that this is the war that's going on against them. And folks, we, the working class poor, are in the fight for our lives to keep the advances that are in danger of going away. You didn't know the Republican senators, all but five or six, have declared war on poverty. And it's not like the war on poverty that President Lyndon Baines Johnson declared back in January 8, 1964. No, this isn't anything about helping the poor folks. This new war on poverty is all about Republican senators, all but five or six, stripping away health care that Americans, the American working class poor, needs desperately. If you haven't seen the signs of the Republican war on poverty, if you haven't seen the signs, they're out there. You've got signs all over the place, like when Trump said that in Cedar Rapids in the campaign style rally 2 weeks ago that he just doesn't want someone that's poor in his cabinet. And when Trump says poor, let's clarify here, he's talking about working class Americans. Working class Americans, folks. Those are the poor folks to him. That's you. That's me. That's a war on poverty, folks. When you go to that race, that congressional race where Karen Handel, the Republican congresswoman that spent $50 million, an unprecedented amount of money to win the congressional seat for Republicans against Democrat John Ossoff. When Karen Handel said that, no, quite honestly, she does not support a living wage. That, my friends, is a war on poverty and a slam against every working-class poor American. When you take it all in and you look at all of this and you wonder, how did Trump get elected? Actually, with the help of many working-class Americans, working-class poor. He did it like a wolf in sheep's clothing, folks, by making you think that he's just one of the guys. But he's not, is he? He's not one of the guys. It's all about them declaring a war on poverty, a war on every working class American, because what they say and what they do with things like health care is going to hurt working class Americans. Don't listen to what they say. Look at what they do. They're hurting the working class Americans, like you, like me. You know, folks, you might as well just go out and buy a lotto ticket and call it health insurance, folks, because by the time the Senate Republicans have had their way, you're going to end up paying more for insurance, and it's going to cover far less than it did under the Democrats' plan. In fact, I can guarantee the Republican plan is going to cover less than than the Democrat plan has, because they've thrown out things like the 10 essential health benefits that are in the Democratic plan. And yes, the Congressional Budget Office has even said just the other day that the folks who need insurance the most, the 50 to 64 year old Americans, are going to pay more for it under the Republican plan. You're going to end up paying more for it under this new plan. So don't listen. Don't listen to what they say about helping the working class poor. Watch the Senate Republicans and what they're doing. And you'll say, like I do, that there is no love in the air. And you know what else, folks? You know that regional hospital that you count on today just down the road from you? That regional hospital, well, it might be gone. Probably will be gone. Along with when 23 million are left without health insurance, with no money to go to that hospital, and after they finish gutting Medicaid that hospital depends on, you know, hospitals are finally getting paid under the current plan. That's not going to happen in the future. So that regional hospital, kiss it goodbye. There's no love in the air. Well, it's time to stand up, America. There is a war being fought right now against America's working class poor, and we're not going to let them win. You got to vote them out. Thanks for the listen here, folks, and let's put some love back in the air.